Welcome to Head Games Radio on Sports Byline. Very special guest today. We had Charles Barkley last Thursday. We had Leilani Munter, one of the few beauties and women on the NASCAR scene. We had on Monday's show, as always, Len Dawson from Inside the NFL, 24 years on Inside the NFL, the 30th anniversary coming up. And today's special guest has been the host the last several years, Bob Costas, who probably, along with Chris Berman, I would imagine, is the most highly decorated, if you will, person covering sports. Bob has been able to make his name covering the Olympics, covering baseball, and now, despite his, shall we say, smaller stature, and I imagine he was not a middle linebacker in the NFL, Bob Costas is the anchor man, if you will, of Inside the NFL. We're going to talk about many things with him because he is the thinking man's sportscaster. We're going to talk about the legacy of a Red Auerbach. We're going to talk about the World Series. We're going to talk about the new generation of NBA players and Charles Barkley's take that David Stern's leadership has been extraordinary, that he is the best commissioner. And we're going to ask Bob about David Stern's leadership and how it compares with the other commissioners, in particular baseball. We've got an interesting clip from him from a few years ago talking about the horrible relationship between management and labor in baseball. And we're also going to talk about some of the other outstanding leadership figures in the NFL. That's with Bob Costas coming up today. And then later at the end of the show, we'll have Gary McCord celebrating Halloween as only Gary McCord can. But Bob Costas, you've just joined us. Thanks for joining us, buddy.
Hey, Nick. How are you?
I'm great. I know that you are unbelievably busy. So we're going to go to a break here. And when we come back, we're going to try to cover a potpourri of subjects because only Bob Costas can cover equally well the NFL, the Olympics, the legacy of Red Auerbach, and now the NFL as well. Thanks for joining us, buddy.
Okay.
We'll be right back with Bob Costas. You're listening to Head Games Radio on Sports Byline.
Golf Digest is going to cure your slice now, and that's a guarantee. Introducing the breakthrough video, Cure Your Slice Now, and it's free with your paid subscription to Golf Digest magazine. In this video, top PGA instructor Chuck Cook shows you the seven key phases of the swing and gives you his proven method for better control and longer, straighter drives. And here's our guarantee. If Golf Digest and Cure Your Slice Now doesn't cure your slice and improve your game, cancel the subscription and keep the video free. Every month in Golf Digest, you get easy-to-follow instruction from the best teachers and players in golf, information on the top equipment, the best places to play, and you also get the removable Pocket Tips booklet. Call now. Use your credit card and get your first risk-free issue, the Pocket Tips booklet, and the video free. You get 11 more issues for only $19.77. If your game doesn't improve, cancel your subscription and keep the video, booklet, and magazine free.
Call 800-828-2639. That's 800-828-2639 for Golf Digest.
Have you heard about podcasting? It's the next big thing. With podcasts, your favorite radio shows like Sports Overnight America and the Video Game Review are delivered directly to your computer, automatically, so you can listen when and where you want, as many times as you want. And it's easy, too. Just go to sportsbyline.com and click on the Get Podcast button next to the show you want. Visit sportsbyline.com today.
Hi, everybody. This is Nick Lowry, and I want to tell you about the most beautiful golf course I've ever played. It's called Quintero. It's already ranked in the top 10 in the country as a real estate golf course. I'm telling you, it is the most outstanding combination of beautiful fairways and views you will ever see. If you want to join one of the most outstanding new private courses in the country, go to QuinteroGolf.com or call 888-417-8468. That's 888-41-QUINT or 888-417-8468.
Do you have dry skin, cracked heels, hard calluses, or corns? Then use Cracked Heel Skin Softener from Blue Goo. Cracked Heel has lecithin, lanolin, and beeswax, plus emu oil to penetrate and soften the skin. Just massage Cracked Heel into your feet twice a day and feel the difference. Your feet will thank you. No more pain from cracked heels, hard calluses, or corns. Make your next step a comfortable one with Cracked Heel Skin Softener. Available at Walmart, Walgreens, Rite Aid, and Duane Reade.
This is Nick Lowry, and I'm here to tell you about HeadGamesRadio.com, the official website of Head Games Radio. If you can't listen to the show every day, just go to HeadGamesRadio.com and join the Head Games team. You get to listen to Head Games highlights from our superstar guests. As a member, you'll be entitled to exclusive offers and information, so register with us so we can send you updates and special giveaways that non-members just can't get. Stay tuned. Check out HeadGamesRadio.com. Email us and join the Head Games family.
Yes, I was fired. It happens to most coaches. Well, what are you going to do? Are you going to just lie there in the fetal position and whimper?
Welcome back to Head Games Radio on Sports Byline with Robert Quinlan Costas, born March 22nd, 1952, although he looks much younger, mother of Irish Catholic descent, father of Greek descent, raised as a Roman Catholic, but a man that has converted many people who are not essentially great sports fans to sports over the last generation. Bob Costas, again, an honor to have you on the show.
Nick, how you doing?
I'm doing great. And first of all, just how busy are you? I mean, we see Chris Collinsworth wearing about 16 hats these days. You're wearing about 20.
Well, the football season has suddenly turned out to be my busiest time of the year because now that NBC has added Sunday Night Football, you've got that, and then the HBO show on Wednesdays. And my own show, Costas Now, is only a quarterly program, but there was one as recently as September, and there'll be another one in December on HBO. But it's certainly not every week or even every month. But when all those things come together in a week where there's a Costas Now and a Football Night in America and an Inside the NFL, then people might think, gee, I'm seeing this guy everywhere. Plus, you never know what's on tape. You never know what interview of me ESPN Classic has, or what special that I might have sat down for an interview a year ago, and all of a sudden this is the week that it airs. And so there can be a bombardment of Costas at various times of the year, which is why after the Super Bowl, I kind of go off the radar screen for a while, and other than the Derby and the Preakness for NBC and the U.S. Open Golf and one or two Costas Nows, I'm basically not on the air at all from the Super Bowl until September 1st. So that's when A, I recharge, and B, let the people who might be getting sick of me get away from me for a while until they're not so horrified to see me again when the next football season starts.
Bob, wouldn't you say that the profession of sportscaster, and it really doesn't do it justice because you're so well-read, but it's a humbling position because there's always someone who's not happy with your opinion. There's always someone who's not happy with how you look. Has that gotten to the point where it doesn't matter anymore, sort of like a player getting used to playing in front of 80,000 people? After a while, it just becomes the background?
Well, you have to understand that while criticism always comes with a territory for any public figure, that's always been true, the atmosphere has changed in that respect almost exponentially with the advent of a certain kind of sports talk radio, a certain kind of cable TV culture and tone, throw the internet in. And so the people who are the snarkiest or the most mean-spirited or want to just launch ad hominem attacks and think that qualifies as commentary, those people are everywhere. Look at the tone of political campaigns today. It doesn't have to be true. It doesn't have to be fair. It doesn't have to make sense. Just take a shot at somebody. And so when that's the atmosphere, I would think that if Jim McKay were around today on the air, or if Vin Scully were just starting out and he was doing national broadcasts, make a list of the people you most admire, whose work is most deserving of respect. Even they would have some people taking potshots at them. And in many cases, it says much more about the people doing the potshotting than it does about those at whom it's directed. None of us is above reasonable and constructive criticism. But a lot of what's buzzing around in the whole culture today, not just about sports or about broadcasting, but about everything, is some combination of mean-spirited, uninformed, and stupid, and no reasonable person would take that to heart. You have to be open to constructive criticism. You have to be critical of yourself, but you don't need to take to heart every bit of nonsense that's out there, and there's so many more places for that nonsense to show up now because there's so many more outlets. So you have to take that into account, otherwise you'd lose your sanity.
Yeah, and I think also those journalists like yourself that are in it for the right reasons, which is, I think, to convey an entertaining but hopefully reasonably profound, insightful portrayal of reality so that people can see the world with all its colors. They can see the drama itself, and they're able to take the ego out of it. Walter Cronkite comes to mind, obviously, is one of the great figures in that as well. But in the last couple paragraphs, you use the phrases ad hominem and pot-shotting. So I like the fact, Bob, that we can create and enlarge the English language even as we make our points. Not too many radio shows probably have both those in the same paragraph. But let's talk about, just for one more second, your background on Long Island. I had those three glorious years on, with the Jets, and the last two with Richie Coatside. I think we were like 4-28.
It builds character, Nick.
It built a lot of character. If that's about character, that's what it built. What was it like for you growing up on Long Island with your exposure to the media capital of the world itself, the Yankees, the Mets, the Knicks, et cetera, and how that influenced the way you go about your job?
Well, it's a good question, because that was a perfect place for a kid who was interested in broadcasting and interested in journalism to absorb a lot of it. This is the pre-ESPN, the pre-internet days, but there were at least two teams in every sport in the New York area. So you had all these radio broadcasts, all these television broadcasts. A higher percentage of games at that time were on local TV in New York than in most other cities. And a very large percentage of the top New York broadcasters were truly legendary figures. Mel Allen and Red Barber and the young Vin Scully and Marty Glickman and Lindsey Nelson, people like that. And so even though I never tried to copy another broadcaster, they instilled in me a love not only for the games, but of games well-described, broadcast with a high level of craftsmanship and talent. And so that drew me in. And as I said, I never copied them, but I became interested in what they did, and I took note of how they did it, and I think that helped to shape me.
Well, I want to cover a lot of things, and we've only got a short period of time, so forgive me, but I want to jump around to your comments vis-a-vis some of the other wonderful people we've had on this show. Starting with last Thursday, we had Sir Charles Barkley, another very shy person who has a lot of trouble expressing himself. And
right.
Charles was asked, Bob, about this new generation of NBA players.
I do. I think for a few years ago, it wasn't very good basketball. They were letting all the high school players in, and they had a lot of talent, but they didn't know how to play. I mean, Kevin Garnett, Kobe Bryant, and LeBron, exceptions. I think it's always better for the lesser players to go to college. I think David is the best commissioner in sports. I thought the dress code was fantastic, because young black kids can't dress like that and get jobs. And now there's always going to be a double standard for the NBA, because it's considered a black league.
So let's jump to our first sport, specifically the NBA, and what Commissioner Stern has done and how you see it benefiting from his leadership.
Well, generally speaking, he's done a tremendous job of marketing. For all of his excellence, you have to concede that the timing was great for him, because during his commissionership, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, ultimately Michael Jordan were all in the mix, and that helped to popularize the league. And then you had very significant characters on a level just beneath them, the Charles Barkleys, the Isaiah Thomases, the Karl Malones, the John Stocktons. The league was just brimming with appealing, interesting, dynamic players and personalities. And on top of it, there was a long stretch in which the best and most appealing players were consistently getting onto the sport's biggest stage. It seemed like almost every year, the Lakers with Magic and Kareem and Pat Riley at the helm, or Bird's Celtics, or then Jordan's Bulls, were getting to the finals, and they'd be playing the Pistons, or they'd be playing the Phoenix Suns with Barkley, or the Utah Jazz a couple of times. I mean, you cannot arrange these kinds of matchups on a regular basis, but it seemed to always happen for the NBA. So when people talk now about, is LeBron James the next Michael Jordan, first of all, I don't think there'll ever be another Michael Jordan. There won't be the combination of factors that allowed that to happen. But first of all, LeBron and the Cavaliers have to get to the NBA Finals. Until that happens, you don't have those kind of iconic moments that fix a player and fix a team in the public's mind.
We're going to go to a break, but I want to add one of Charles' comments, which is with the advent of ESPN and its pervasive and amazing, thorough coverage of sports, now we're entering into an era where if a guy has one good game or one good week, he's suddenly, quote, a superstar. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about the so-called superstar ethic and culture in sports in this country and why we're getting our rear ends kicked around the world with Bob Costas, probably the most decorated sports journalist of our time. We'll be right back in just a second. You're listening to Head Games Radio on Sports Byline.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic getaway? Well, how about 3 days and two nights in Las Vegas? And what about, you don't pay a dime for it? That's right, act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas' newest five-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge, stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on, you know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call this special toll-free number, 866-50-GO-WIN. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 866-50-GO-WIN for all the exciting details. That's 866-50-GO-WIN. Call now.
My life absolutely rules. See, this guy I like, his favorite band is coming to town on his birthday. I'm thinking, tickets, perfect gift. What? Sold out? I'm about to lose my cool when someone on the radio goes,
even when the others say, sorry, sold out, Tickets Now will ask you, where would you like to sit? TicketsNow.com.
Ah, sweet. I go to TicketsNow.com, and within minutes, the tickets are mine. Mr. Birthday Boy says, oh, baby, you got the sweet seats. I say, Tickets Now. He goes, yeah. So I say, Tickets Now is awesome. And he says, and you are amazing. He puts his arm around me and says, now, come sit a little closer. Score! Yes!
Tickets Now. How close would you like to sit?
Are you losing your hair? Is that bald spot getting bigger? Is your hair looking thinner? Why aren't you using Avacor, the hair growth treatment that's helped thousands of people just like you regrow their hair?
It's been 3 months now. I've been on Avacor, and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old.
We're giving away a free month of Avacor with all of today's orders. Avacor is proven to successfully stop hair loss and regrow hair. Call 800-450-9743 for your risk-free trial of Avacor. Call now, 800-450-9743. All of today's orders will receive an additional month's supply of Avacor absolutely free.
Avacor really works. I just love it. It's like a miracle. I couldn't be happier.
Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. That's 800-450-9743. 800-450-9743.
There's 95 guys or 97 doing the right thing the right way and two or three jerks. So two or three jerks get 97% of the attention.
Join Head Games Radio. Call 800-878-PLAY. That's 800-878-7529. And now, here's your host, Nick Lowry.
Welcome back to Head Games Radio on Sports Byline. And our special guest today is Bob Costas, he's going around 1,000 miles an hour with his hair on fire, but that would be a good Halloween costume. Bob, do you have a special costume for today?
You know, I have not worked out a costume for tonight. I don't know if I should go out on the prowl this evening. My kids are too old for Halloween, so maybe I'll just stay off the streets.
Well, I was at Gary McCord's costume party on Saturday night, and Peter Costas dressed up as Mr. Irvin, complete with being completely impaled by a stingray all the way through with blood on the front and the hook on the back. It was very special.
That's extremely sensitive, isn't it?
Very sensitive. I thought to myself, Peter Kostas, that's my kind of party man.
You know, I understand. Someone told me once that his email is Peter, not Bob, or Peter at notbob.com or something like that.
He's kind of sensitive about he's pretty sensitive about that, but anyway, we had another interesting comment from Charles Barkley from Thursday about this culture where it seems you can have one or two big games and suddenly you're a superstar.
Well, everything is overhyped.
I'm trying to compare people to Michael Jordan. I love Dwayne Wade. I love LeBron. But 3 years into the league, Michael Jordan wasn't even Michael Jordan. You know, they're like, I'm with ESPN. Like, our job is to try to make people watch our games. But anybody who gets on television and say LeBron James and Dwayne Wade as good as Michael Jordan, they're full of it.
What do you think about that, Bob? Do you think that we jump too much on the bandwagon and jump too quickly off of it?
Absolutely. Everything is overhyped. Charles is 100% right. These programs have to justify themselves, not only to try to gin up ratings, but they've got so much time to fill that everything has to be analyzed and overanalyzed, and you can't even allow for the randomness of things. The recent baseball postseason, it's exciting, it's interesting, there are some legitimate analytical points that can be made, but some of it is just, hey, that's what happens in a handful of baseball games. But if a baseball analyst says that, then maybe he's out of a job. But how else would you explain the team with the 13th best record in baseball winning the World Series? And teams that they couldn't possibly compete with over 162, either not even making the playoffs or bowing out early. Sometimes the answer is, you know, stuff just kind of happens. But people don't like to say that because it diminishes their own importance and they've got time to fill.
Well, and you've been one who's criticized the playoff format in baseball as diminishing the importance of the divisional pennant itself, but on the other hand, you know, teams with barely 500 records are making it in the NFL. Why do you think the NFL playoff format is more legitimate?
The NFL playoff is more legitimate because a team that has a weak record as a division winner, relatively weak, or that sneaks in as a wild card, has a shot at the Super Bowl, but it's a long shot. Even the Steelers, who managed to win as a wild card last year, they clearly had to travel a much more difficult road. You got to play the extra game. You always have to play the highest remaining seed, and you have to play all your games on the road in a system where home field advantage is 100% because each round is only one game. Now, you contrast that with baseball, where a team could be 162-0, and if they face a weak division winner or a wild card winner in the playoffs, the only advantage they get is the extra home game, and the first round, the only round that's guaranteed to include the best teams and the weakest teams, is a best-of-five crapshoot. Anybody knows that while an upset is possible in any sport, an upset is much more likely in a small cluster of games in baseball than it is in any other sport. It's entirely possible for the Tampa Bay Devil Rays to win a given 3 out of 5 series from the 1927 Yankees. And so it shouldn't surprise people that if a team is good enough to make the playoffs, even if they're not quite the best team in the league, that team will win a certain number of series against better teams. That's the nature of baseball. So that's why over the past many years you've had more wild card teams win the World Series than have won the Super Bowl in the entire history of the Super Bowl. And it seems like every year at least one of the World Series participants is a wild card team. I have nothing against the wild card concept, but they've got to make it like the NFL, where there is a significant distinction between being the best team over the course of the year and being a team that barely qualifies for the playoffs. The Indianapolis Colts had a huge advantage last year. They squandered it, but they had a first-round bye, and they would have had home field for every game they played. So they had a clear path to the Super Bowl. The Steelers had a very steep hill to climb, and they happened to climb it. I got no problem with it when it turns out that way because it's set up in an intelligent fashion.
And they earned it.
They earned it. They earned it.
Well, let's stick with baseball. We're talking with Bob Kostas, and Bob, you know, we probably need 3 hours to cover
the basics with you. I'll stay till the top of the hour. It's obvious you've prepared some stuff here, and I respect that, so we'll stay till the top.
You are the best. You are the best. Well, I've got an interesting quote from you from a few years ago about baseball's leadership.
The owner's dealings with the players, especially in the Marvin Miller era, but even continuing with Don Fear and Gene Orson, have been monumentally incompetent and often blatantly dishonest. This works to the owner's disadvantage now, should they ever see the light and come to the players with a fair and reasonable proposal that shows some vision, because they've still got an enormous credibility gap. But just because they've been wrong before and the players have always been right, doesn't mean that continues perpetually into the future. Even DiMaggio's streak eventually came to an end.
That is from about 6 years ago on Charlie Rose, and I'm interested in this cross comparison. We've talked about, and Charles believes that David Stern is the best commissioner in sports. I am not a huge fan of Bud Selig, but he was proud to say last week a new collective bargaining agreement, much like the NFL, way ahead of time, that they have had labor peace. What is going on today? In those 6 years since you had that interview, what has transpired that has either confirmed your opinion of baseball's management or improved it?
Well, my opinion of Bud Selig and the situation in baseball overall has definitely improved since 1999, 2000, 2001. I think Bud has to be given credit for doing some things right. Baseball's revenues have never been higher. He did manage to get two consecutive collective bargaining agreements without a work stoppage, and in the case of the most recent one, there wasn't even the remote threat of a work stoppage, so you didn't have all the negative publicity surrounding the game. These are significant steps forward in a sport whose whole labor history is just filled with constant turmoil and work stoppages and whatnot, so he gets credit for that. And within those deals, you had improved revenue sharing and the luxury tax, which certainly doesn't cure all of baseball's economic ills, but it reduces them. They don't have competitive parity, but they have something much closer to it than they had 5 or 6 years ago. And when you couple that with teams like Oakland and Minnesota doing a better job of using their limited resources, you have not the kind of parity that you have in the NFL or even potentially in the NBA, but something much closer to parity in baseball. And one advantage, even though I've been critical in some respects of the postseason format that baseball has, one advantage that three divisions and a wild card gives you is that teams can occasionally catch lightning in a bottle. If they're in a so-so division, they might win it, or they might sneak in every now and then as a wild card. And once they get there, they might luck out and win a best 3 out of 5 against a team that's really stronger than they are. So all these things, which have all happened under Bud Selig's watch, including interleague play, there's probably too much of it, but generally it's a pretty good concept. All these things have been to baseball's benefit, and Bud has to get credit for them. On the other hand, there's still some things I have problems with, like how in the heck can you attach home field advantage in the World Series to the outcome of the All-Star game? That's such an obvious and cheap and cheesy gimmick, and everybody sees through it. It's done for one reason, which is to try to minimally improve Fox's rating on a Tuesday night in July, so I don't think there's much integrity to that. And there are other things that I could be critical of, but overall,
Bob, let's talk about ratings. Let's go to the heart of it, too. Let's go to the heart of media today and the thing that compromises journalistic ethics and the producers' decisions on what to and what not to cover. That first game of the World Series, we had Eric Burns on the show with his wonderful haircut, I might say, mentioning that baseball needs controversy, that the ratings were at an all-time low. What's wrong with baseball?
I don't think there's anything, or not, at least not much, fundamentally wrong with baseball. But the culture has changed. It's a big event culture, a short attention span culture. And a baseball playoff series takes 7 games to play out. It's not one game like football at a time of the year when people tend to be watching television. If you compare World Series ratings to NBA playoff ratings, they're still much better. Even though it's at a time of the year when school is in session, talking about baseball's postseason, and when the other networks have launched their new programming. So if you look at it in the context of modern television, it's not so bad. Are the World Series ratings lower than they've ever been? Yes. But do those World Series games win the ratings each of those nights? Are they the most watched shows on television? Yes, they are. And if you cobble together all the television ratings over the course of the year with all the games that are on locally, all the games that are on Fox or ESPN or on superstations, many, many more people are watching baseball, and just as importantly, many, many more people are attending baseball games than ever before. In the so-called golden era of baseball, when you and I were kids, a team considered itself successful if they drew a million, wildly successful if they drew 2 million. Now almost every team routinely draws 2 million, and many teams draw 3 or even close to 4 million, plus you've got all the additional marketing and other sources of revenue, all of which has happened under Selig's watch, so you got to give him credit.
You got to give him credit, and we will continue to talk a little bit about baseball, but the larger theme with the Bob Costas on the show, you don't get him every day, certainly on Sirius Satellite. Instead of going in the direction of Mike and the Mad Dog and Howard Stern, we're going to talk about history, the impact of history itself, and a culture that refuses to study history. Here's Chris Berman.
At least when I was 12, 13, 14, okay, of the not, well, not all the games were on TV even when we were in our 20s, 20 years ago, but let's go with baseball for a minute, because football was on TV, but baseball, even unless you're in the biggest markets, if you go back to when we were growing up, you'd have the Saturday and Sunday games and maybe one evening game on TV. The rest was on the radio or you read the paper. So not all of it was there in front of you. A, you had to work a lot harder to kind of get the information. I mean, I remember growing up a Willie Mays San Francisco Giant fan, Nick, in Connecticut, and therefore if the Giants played on Tuesday and had a candlestick, we got the score in Thursday morning's paper.
We'll be right back with Bob Costas, talking about history, talking about the ability to make the bigger lessons in life come out on the drama stage of sport. We'll be right back. You're listening to Head Games Radio on Sports Byline.
I love the life I'm living. Always up on everything that's going down. I've got love to keep me warm and tickets now to keep me cool. With the coolest seats to the hottest things in town. That's one of life's little treats, having the perfect seats. Tickets Now makes a business of perfect seats. Tickets to the biggest game, the coolest concerts, and the hottest shows. Down in the pretty people rows, Tickets Now has lots of those. And even when the others say, sorry, sold out, Tickets Now will ask you, where would you like to sit? Think about it. The hot tickets now at TicketsNow.com. Hard to get? You bet. But not impossible. TicketsNow.com. Yeah. TicketsNow.com. How close would you like to sit?
Hi, everybody. This is Nick Lowry, and I want to tell you about the most beautiful golf course I've ever played. It's called Quintero. It's already ranked in the top 10 in the country as a real estate golf course. I'm telling you, it is the most outstanding combination of beautiful fairways and views you will ever see. If you want to join one of the most outstanding new private courses in the country, go to QuinteroGolf.com or call 888-417-8468. That's 888-41-QUINT or 888-417-8468.
In today's active world, everyone is turning to exercise and sports to stay young and keep in shape. Both activities can be painful. And what about the aches and pains of arthritis and tendinitis as we age? Now, there's an over-the-counter product with active ingredients that can help relieve pain quickly. It's called Blue Goo. Blue Goo is loaded with emu oil, MSM, eucalyptus oil, glucosamine, chondroitin, and other helpful ingredients that give you lasting pain relief. Whether it's muscle strains and sprains, tendinitis, headaches, back and neck aches, arthritis, or joint pain relief, Blue Goo Pain Relief Gel is for you. It's fast, effective, and affordable. Blue Goo, the real pain reliever, is available in the analgesic department. Or ask your pharmacist for Blue Goo Pain Relief Gel. Accept no substitutes. Make sure it's Blue Goo, the only name to trust in pain relief. Let Blue Goo Pain Relief Gel work for you. Blue Goo, if you have a problem or pain, we have a solution. Blue Goo.
If you're self-employed or you run a small business and you need competitive health insurance, pick up the phone and call the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company. These competitive health insurance plans are underwritten by the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company, and coverage may not be available in all states, so call now and see if you qualify. 866-503-MEGA, 866-503-MEGA. That's 866-503-MEGA.
That's another stroke penalty, two-shot penalty for hitting yourself with a golf ball. And then it bopped down the bunker, buried again, he had to blast out fire, and he kept whistling. That would have been me. I would have taken that golf cart and thrown it into the lake.
Join Head Games Radio. Call 800-878-PLAY. That's 800-878-7529. And now, here's your host, Nick Lowry.
What a special show today on Head Games Radio. We got the four H's. We've got Head Games, we've got Halloween. We're going to talk a little bit more about history, and then we're going to talk about humor. We'll be joined by that man whose voice you just heard talking about throwing or driving the cart in the lake, Gary McCord, in just a few minutes with Bob Costas. But, Bob, really, again, appreciate your taking the time. Here's one more quote from Chris Berman.
Time's gone by, and if it didn't happen this year, it still was pretty cool. And so, I don't know, maybe that's just me, too. I'm a history major at Brown, which that may or may not have anything to do with why I like the history of sports, too.
Of course it does.
Well, I mean, because I'm fascinated by those who preceded us.
Bob, I think that's something you share in common, and maybe it's not a coincidence that a David Halberstam, one of the great historians of this culture, is so fascinated by sports as well.
Well, sports can often be, if you don't overdo it, can often provide a window into what's going on in the larger culture, and sometimes sports figures or events in sports take on some significance that transcends that day's scoreboard. You got to be selective about that. Not everything fits into that category, but some things do. And no matter what we do, what we cover, I think it's myopic to look at it as having its meaning only based on what's happening right now, or the only thing that matters is what's happening right now. We live in a youth-oriented culture, and some of that is understandable. But we glorify youth to the point where anything that happened less than 5 minutes ago or more than 5 minutes ago is somehow viewed as irrelevant or old-fashioned or whatever. But where does the context come from if it doesn't come from some appreciation of what's preceded it and some perspective that comes with having seen something over the course of time as opposed to just being confronted with things for the first time? So, I mean, this seems to me to be obvious that without some appreciation of history, without some kind of perspective, how can you evaluate anything? If it's just something as relatively insignificant as sports, what do performances mean if you don't have benchmarks and if you don't have some sense of history and you don't have some records to compare them to? That's why the steroid crisis in baseball was so significant, because the records and the history of baseball matter more than other sports. They matter in all sports, but they matter most in baseball. And that's really at the heart of the steroid controversy, because it poisoned the record book.
Well, we're going to be joined now by a man who appreciates history and has, I think, a gift for conveying history and also fun in coverage of sport. And I thought that we would stir this pot a little bit with the legendary man himself who played the Tooth Fairy at his own Halloween party, Gary McCord. Have you got that outfit on with the nice little tutu still?
I don't want to hear about that anymore.
Hey, you did it. I didn't.
And I love history because, as you know, I am really old, so I'm really getting into history now, really getting into it. Now, what are you guys talking about? Let me hear about it.
Well, we're talking about the fact that so little of the coverage of sport tends to understand the context. You know, I want to touch on Red Auerbach and his legacy, and when you compare him to a Lombardi or John Wooden, what they mean. But let's focus on golf now, Bob Costas and Gary McCord, in the context when we hear a Tiger Woods, which inevitably is going to be the subject of discussion in golf today because of his streak, because of his consistency. It's also because of his place in history. And Gary, let's start with you. When you look at the phenomenal coverage and focus on a Tiger Woods, has it gone too far?
Well, we always take things too far, especially in the media. Our sport is a sport driven by a superstar. We're a third page sport. We need somebody up there pushing us up to the front page once in a while. And obviously, at this particular point in our time, we have that person in Tiger Woods. So the focus is really keen on Tiger Woods. Now the fact that he's obliterating all these records. He is standing alone in our sport. He is so much better than everyone else. And it's really hard in today's sport where we have all these superior athletes, so one guy could really stand out and just beat the crap out of everybody else in their sport is phenomenal, and that's what we have right now. And again, he's a great representative for our sport. You couldn't ask for anything better. So we're really right now at the pinnacle of our being in this sport to have someone with the flag and leading us right now. So it's great to watch.
Bob, is Tiger Woods the other end of the spectrum? We talked with Charles Barkley about the fact that you can have one or two good games and suddenly you're a superstar. But Tiger Woods truly is, isn't he?
Oh, he absolutely is. He's a modern superstar in that he's not only excellent, he's telegenic. But historically, there's no disputing that he's already at or very near the top. You can argue that until he passes Nicklaus's total of 18 majors, that Jack is still the greatest. But I would put this as a question to Gary because I don't have the expertise, but it seems like a legitimate question. Is it fair to say already, Gary, that Tiger Woods has, at various times in his career, played golf better than anyone has ever played golf?
Yeah, Bob, and I'll relate that. And as what I do is sit up in a tower and I watch and I reflect on what these guys are doing and try to paint word pictures, and I paint those pictures from the fact that I have been up there playing since 1974. I've played with Nicklaus. I've played with those guys. I've watched. I understand. I don't understand Tiger Woods. I some of the stuff he does, I sit there in disbelief. I don't call him right. I say, well, he's got to do this, and then he, you know, somehow does that, hits it on the green out of 4 foot rough up to his fetlocks with a 3-iron, carrying the ball 300 yards over water with a 7-iron. You know, stuff like that, and that's basically what it is. And I don't understand it, and it scared me because everything else I understood, I've seen it before. I never saw this. Never saw it coming. I couldn't comment on it. I couldn't paint pictures because I didn't understand it. And that's the way I relate Tiger Woods to everyone else. Jack Nicklaus, Trevino, I understood that. I could do that once in a while. I can't do anything this kid does. Never thought of doing it.
You know, I'm putting.
Well, let me ask you this then. Would you define a true superstar then in terms of a Muhammad Ali, in terms of a Michael Jordan, as being measured not by their impact nationally, but truly in their global impact with this telegenic and informational culture?
Bob, you have to define it.
Go ahead, Bob.
Well, one way to define it, but I would say that Willie Mays was a genuine baseball superstar. He had no particular global impact. I guess the circumstances change from era to era, and in a celebrity culture, when you have someone who has legitimate celebrity, not bogus or ginned up celebrity, but a celebrity that comes from legitimate qualities they have and legitimate achievements, then you are talking about someone like a Woods or a Jordan or an LA.
Okay. Well, guys, I want to shift now from history itself to humor, because Bob and Gary, both of you use humor in different ways. Bob, you've written a number of books, and I'm not sure if you'd say, Gary, that your crowning achievement is The Idiot's Guide to Golf, but certainly being able to teach the lessons, without getting too profound or sober here, the lessons of life with humor. It's clear some of the athletes that we cover on this stage are able to pretend as if they're relaxed under pressure, and others truly are. Who are some of your favorite people as you cover sport that truly are able to laugh in the moment with the highest level of pressure? Let's first start with Bob.
Well, it's a good question. Some people are naturally characters, and I don't know that that is the same thing as truly being relaxed under pressure. Their personality is such that they're more demonstrative. But some people are more reserved naturally, and yet they're relaxed and able to perform under pressure. Thinking of the sport that I know best, Bob Gibson was outwardly very intense in baseball. You could see that intensity. His contemporary, Sandy Koufax, was very reserved. There was nothing demonstrative about his personality. But they were both obviously either completely at ease in the most pressure-packed moments, or if they weren't at ease, they were able to tame their emotions and direct them in a positive way. So I think there's so many different paths to a desired outcome that there's no one prescription for how you should do it.
Gary, who's the funniest person you've ever worked with?
As far as playing golf or commentary or what?
I would prefer it being who's the guy that you're walking down the fairway and he's about to lose $1 million on a putt and he's still able to laugh.
The guy that has always done that, I'll give you two guys. Fuzzy Zeller really doesn't care. And he doesn't care. I remember I was playing with him in a Champions Tour event, and we're right up there. We're going at it, and, a couple holes left, and he hits the ball in a bunker, and it goes up in the lip. And he whacks it out, hits the lip, come back and hits him. Okay, that's a two-shot penalty. Plus the balls. Now he's got it. Now then it goes down and plugs because it bounced off him, and he chips and he's whistling the whole time, and he made like 8 or 9, and never blinked. Just kept going, kept whistling, and I hit the next tee shot. You don't want to say anything. Hit the next tee shot in the par three, and I'm walking next to him. And I said, "Let me just say something." I said, "If that would have been me, I'd have thrown my caddy, the clubs, and everything else into the pond." And I said, "You never blinked." He goes, "Heh, it's golf." And I went, "Wow." I said, "That's really cool." And the other one was Trevino. And Trevino, you know, I got to play with him a lot, and I watched how he handled the mental aspect of pressure. And it was real interesting. He's in constant conversation. Most of the time, he was with his caddy, Herman Mitchell. And he would just taunt Herman all the time, taunting him. And then he'd get up over a shot, and just before he hit it, he'd tell Herman what he was going to do. And then for that precious second, he got over the ball, stood still, did it, went right back to Herman and started taunting him again. And what he did is he stayed loose by talking constantly. It was just gibberish most of the time. But then he'd set a goal. He set a goal like, okay, I'm going to cut it off the left-hand bunker and work it left to right towards the right center of the fairway because the pin's back left. And he'd tell Herman that, and he'd go do it. So it was a way to verify what he was going to do and set him on a positive note. And I watched him do that, and then he'd go and start talking to the gallery and gibberish again. But he was great at that.
Well, we're going to go to a break. We're joined by CBS Golf's Gary McCord, one of the best in covering golf and one of the best in covering the field of sport. Bob Costas from HBO's Inside the NFL. We would be remiss if we didn't cover the NFL in our last brief segment. Stay with us. You're listening to Head Games Radio on Sports Byline.
Sudden ups and downs, breathtaking twists and turns. No, it's not a roller coaster. It's the stock market. But it doesn't have to be a rough ride. Just subscribe to Barron's, America's premier financial weekly. Subscribe now and get 13 weeks of Barron's for only $39. Each fact-filled issue brings you investing insights, market information, and special reports you won't find anywhere else. Special reports that include the best-performing companies, mutual fund managers, and the outlook for stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. That's not all. Subscribe today and you'll also get Barron's Guide to Building Wealth, plus 4 weeks of Barron's online free with your paid subscription. All the tools you need to make smarter investment decisions. That's 13 weeks of Barron's plus the Guide to Building Wealth and 4 weeks of Barron's online, all for only $39. This offer is available to new subscribers in the continental U.S.
Call now, 800-828-2639. That's 800-828-2639.
Chances are you're paying too much for life insurance. So why not make a free phone call right now that could save you up to 50%, maybe even more, on quality term life insurance from Matrix Direct Insurance Services. Whether you're buying life insurance for the first time or cutting back on the cost of an overpriced policy, one free call to Matrix Direct is the simple and affordable way to get the term life insurance you need. Call Matrix Direct today, because chances are you're paying too much for life insurance. Here's the number. 1-800-471-TERM. The call is free, the quote is free, and there's no obligation. Call Matrix Direct now. 1-800-471-TERM. 1-800-471-TERM. That's 1-800-471-TERM. Call now.
This is Merlin Olson. Have you called the NASE yet? The National Association for the Self-Employed is one of your best resources to obtain access to affordable health, dental, vision, and critical illness plans. The NASC also offers other health, business, and personal benefits. If you are self-employed or own a small business, do what I did. Call the National Association for the Self-Employed. Call today to find out how the NASC can be your best resource for affordable benefits.
Call the NASC now.
800-839-4648, 800-839-4648. Big solutions for small businesses. Insurance plans are underwritten by the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company. Association membership may not be required to obtain insurance, so call right now. 800-839-4648, 800-839-4648. Not available in all states.
Welcome back to our final segment, last 3 minutes on Head Games Radio with Gary McCord from CBS Golf, who's taking a break just like Bob Costas talked about. Everybody's got to take a break once in a while. Gary, how many months a year do you feel you need to take away from the game just so that you can recharge your batteries?
Well, I'm never away from it. I'm on the road about 42, 43 weeks a year. So I just come home and absolutely vegetate, sit on the couch, and I do my impression of Freddie Couples for about 6 days, and now I'm over here at the golf club I belong to up in Scottsdale and hanging around with the boys, and it's golf again. So I can take like 7 days is about it, and it's like a cocaine addict. I got to get back into it.
Bob, what about you?
Well, as I told you, the football season now is extremely hectic for me. Luckily, a lot of it is in New York, so I don't have to be on the road that much, but most of the days are taken up. But between the Super Bowl and September, since NBC doesn't have baseball, it's only a small handful of things for NBC and HBO. So during that period of time, I actually have a pretty easy schedule, so it balances out.
Guys, I want to cover the NFL just very quickly and get a couple comments from each of you from your perspectives. Here's Tom Flores, two-time Super Bowl coach with the Raiders, talking about the Raiders who beat the Super Bowl champion on Sunday.
Hey, Leonard, the best offensive drive we had all day was when we had back-to-back 15-yard penalties. That was the best offensive drive all day. I mean, Leonard, I swear, in my 45 years of professional football, I have never seen an offense so inept.
That's Tom Flores with our good friend Len Dawson, who you know from inside the NFL days. What I find interesting about the NFL this year is that literally on any given Sunday, to use the cliche, the Pittsburgh Steelers are getting their rear ends kicked by the Oakland Raiders, who 1 week earlier were considered the worst team in the NFL.
And they pretty well deserved that designation. They managed to win the game while gaining only 98 yards in total offense the whole game. The Roethlisberger was picked off four times, and two of them were returned for touchdowns, including a 100-yarder, and that can happen. There is a situation in the league where almost any team could, under the right circumstances, especially if they're home and they catch a good team on a down day and get some breaks, almost any team could win almost any given game.
Now, I don't know. I'm from Arizona, and I don't know about that, Bob.
There may be an exception.
only the Cardinals could figure out how to play so well
exactly.
And lose so horridly that night against the Bears.
And every week after.
Yeah. Well, once they lost that game against the Bears, their season was finished. Uh-huh. I wouldn't be surprised if they went 1-15.
Absolutely. There is an artful quality to failure.
It's not artful, as you know. We've been here for a long time, and we've dealt with that team. And you know, it is Halloween, and it's somehow appropriate, I think.
Well, Gary, thanks for joining us, my friend.
Bill Bidwell.
Yeah.
And I wonder what Bill Bidwell's Halloween costume will be today. Well, thank you, Gary, so much for joining us. Appreciate it, as always, my friend and neighbor.
Okay, guys. See you later, Bob. See you later. Right. Take care.
So long, Gary. Bye, Nick. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, Bob, thank you again, and everybody, listen to Inside the NFL, the best show covering the NFL. Appreciate it, Bob.
Thanks, Nick. Take care. Bye.
Thank you. Tomorrow's show, we have Ron Jaworski, I think the top technical analyst on how to watch the game in the NFL, along with Seth Joyner and one of the better people covering the NFL, Rick Goslin from the Dallas Morning News. You want to get all the highlights from Bob Costas and Gary McCord, go to headgamesradio.com, click on any of them, and you'll be able to listen to some of the best interviews in sport. Thanks for listening. You've been listening to Head Games Radio on Sports Byline. We'll see you tomorrow.